The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stepmiller, on this 21st day of August, 2017, here in the battle lines of Texas, in Northern California, next to the Redwoods, Ron McDonald. So, what kind of government do we have, Ron?
I would say an oligarchy, personally.
Well,
the elite run it.
And an oligarchy, yeah. Well,
oligarchy.
Let's go through this. This is very informative. Although I do not agree with some of the comparisons that they use for the beginner. It's probably the best anti-propaganda piece that I've seen in a long time.
When Benjamin Franklin exited the Constitutional Convention, he was asked by a woman, "Sir, what have you given us?" His immediate response was, "A republic, ma'am, if you can keep it." Yet most Americans today have been persuaded that our nation's governmental system is a democracy and not a republic. The difference between these two is essential in understanding Americanism and the American system. Before we discuss political systems, however, it's helpful to address the confusion that has been spread about the political spectrum. Many have been led to believe that the political spectrum places groups such as communists on the far left, fascists or dictators on the far right, and political moderates or centrists in the middle. However, a more accurate political spectrum will show government having zero power on the far right to having 100% power on the far left. At the extreme right, there is no government. The extreme left features total government under such labels as communism, socialism, Nazism, fascism, princes, potentates, dictators, kings, any form of total government. Those who claim that Nazis and fascists are right-wing never define their terms. This amounts to spreading confusion. Toward the middle of the political spectrum can be found the type of government limited to its proper role of protecting the rights of the people. That's where the Constitution of the United States is. Those who advocate such a form of government are really constitutional moderates. So let's analyze the basic forms of government. They are monarchy or dictatorship ruled by one, oligarchy ruled by a few, democracy ruled by a majority, republic ruled by law, and anarchy, which is ruled by no one. In discussing these five, we'll see that they can be narrowed down to even fewer. Looking first at monarchy or dictatorship, this form of government doesn't really exist in the practical sense. It's always a group that puts one of its members up front. A king has his council of nobles or earls, and every dictator has his bureaucrats or commissars, the men behind the scenes. This isn't ruled by one, even though one person may be the visible leader. It's ruled by a group. So let's eliminate monarchy, dictatorship, because it never truly exists. Oligarchy, which is ruled by a group, is the most common form of government in all history, and it is the most common form of government today. Most of the nations of the world are ruled by a powerful few, and therefore oligarchy remains. At the other end, we find anarchy, which means without government. Some people have looked over history and found that many of its worst crimes were committed by governments. So they decided that having no government might be a good idea. But this is a mistake, because as the ancient Greeks stated, without law there can be no freedom. Our founding fathers agreed and held that some amount of government is a necessary force in any civilized, orderly society. In a state of anarchy, however, everyone has to guard life, liberty, and property, and the lives of family members. Everyone must be armed, and movement is severely restricted because one's property has to be protected at all times. Civilized people have always hired someone to do the guarding, a sheriff, a police force, or some branch of government. Once law enforcement was in place, the people were freer. They could leave their property, work in the fields, and so on. In short, the proper amount of government makes everyone freer. There are some who advocate anarchy, however, not because they want no government, but because they don't like what they have. They use anarchy as a tool for revolutionary change. The condition of anarchy is very much like a vacuum where something rushes in to fill it. These calculating anarchists work to break down the existing government with rioting, killing, looting, and terrorism. Tragically, the people living in such chaos often go to those best able to put an end to it and beg them to take over and restore order. And who is best able to put an end to the chaos? The very people who started it. The anarchists who created the problem then create a government run by them, an oligarchy, where they have total power. This is exactly what happened in Russia that led to Lenin taking total power, and in Germany where Hitler's brown shirts created the chaos that brought him to power. But anarchy isn't a stable form of government. It's a quick transition from something that exists to something desired by the power hungry. It's a temporary condition, and because it isn't permanent, we eliminate it as well. The word democracy comes from two Greek words, demos, meaning people, and kratian, meaning to rule. Democracy, therefore, means the rule of the people, majority rule. This, of course, sounds good, but suppose the majority decides to take away one's home, or business, or children. Obviously, there has to be a limit. The flaw in democracy is that the majority isn't restrained. If more than half the people can be persuaded to want something in a democracy, they rule. What about republic? Well, that comes from the Latin, res, meaning thing, and publica, meaning public. It means the public thing, the law. A true republic is one where the government is limited by law, leaving the people alone. America's founders had a clean slate to write on. They could have set up an oligarchy. In fact, there were some who wanted George Washington to be their king. But the founding fathers knew history, and they chose to give us the rule of law in a republic, not the rule of a majority in a democracy. Why? Let's demonstrate the difference in the setting of the Old West. Consider a lynch mob in a democracy. 35 horseback riders chase one lone gunman. They catch him, and they vote 35-1 to hang him. Democracy has triumphed, and there's one less gunman to contend with. Now consider the same scenario in a republic. The 35 horseback riders catch the gunman and vote 35-1 to hang him. But the sheriff arrives and he says, "You can't kill him. He's got his right to a fair trial." So they take the gunman back to town. A jury of his peers is selected, and they hear the evidence and the defense, and they decide if he shall hang. Does the jury even decide by majority rule? No, it has to be unanimous or he goes free. The rights of the gunman aren't subject to majority rule, but to the law. This is the essence of a republic. Many Americans would be surprised to learn that the word democracy does not appear in the Declaration of Independence or the U.S. Constitution, nor does it appear in any of the constitutions of the 50 states. The founders did everything they could to keep us from having a democracy. James Madison, rightly known as the father of the Constitution, wrote in essay number 10 of the Federalist Papers, "Democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention, have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and have in general been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths." Alexander Hamilton agreed, and he stated, We are a republican government. Real liberty is never found in despotism or in the extremes of democracy. Samuel Adams, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, stated, "Democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself." The founders had good reason to look upon democracy with contempt, because they knew that the democracies in the early Greek city-states produced some of the wildest excesses of government imaginable. In every case, they ended up with mob rule, then anarchy, and finally tyranny under an oligarchy. During that period in Greece, there was a man named Solon who urged creation of a fixed body of law not subject to majority whims. But where the Greeks never adopted Solon's wise counsel, the Romans did. Based on what they knew of Solon's laws, they created the 12 tables of the Roman law and, in effect, built a republic that limited government power and left the people alone. Since government was limited, the people were free to produce, with the understanding that they could keep the fruits of their labor. In time, Rome became wealthy and the envy of the world. In the midst of plenty, however, the Roman people forgot what freedom entailed. They forgot that the essence of freedom is the proper limitation of government. When government power grows, people freedom recedes. Once the Romans dropped their guard, power-seeking politicians began to exceed the powers granted them in the Roman Constitution. Some learned that they could elect politicians who would use government power to take property from some and give it to others. Agriculture subsidies were introduced, followed by housing and welfare programs. Inevitably, taxes rose and controls over the private sector were imposed. Soon, a number of Rome's producers could no longer make ends meet, and they went on the dole. Productivity declined, shortages developed, and mobs began roaming the streets, demanding bread and circuses from the government. Many were induced to trade freedom for security. Eventually, the whole system came crashing down. They went from a republic to a democracy, and ended up with an oligarchy under a progression of the Caesars. Thus, democracy itself is not a stable form of government. Instead, it is the gradual transition from limited government to the unlimited rule of an oligarchy. Knowing this, we as Americans are ultimately left with only two choices. We can keep our republic, as Franklin put it, or we will inevitably end up with an oligarchy, a tyranny of the elite.
Alrighty, in 13 minutes or less, little lesson on governments and, geez, what doesn't work. Ron, they don't teach this stuff in school, do they?
No, no, and that was a very good tape.
Frank?
That explains a lot, certainly.
Yeah. Well, and in short, you know, everybody talks about it and they reference it, but sometimes it has to be spelled out clearly and it has to be repeated. Just in that manual for Antifa, what did they say? Misogynistic, racist, bigot, you know. The buzzwords, keep repeating them. Repeat the lie often enough, and guess what? People start to believe in Uncle Joe as their savior. Go ahead.
So where do you think we are today, democracy or oligarchy?
Oh, hell, I don't care. I'm doing the show from South America right now. You Americans can go to hell. No. Where do you... Well, let me see. If the Gambinos and the Genoveses control both sides of the house, and they are pretty much unified, and we've got presidents that issue executive orders like they are a king, I don't know. I've said this before. We've got this interesting mix of government being involved with corporations, so that's the true definition of fascism. A fascist is not a person that doesn't like somebody that wants another form of government, that's for sure. But we're kind of a mix. We're kind of like an oligarchy. We're kind of like a democracy. you hear them repeating, well, no, we're not a democracy, we're a representative democracy. In other words, we have representatives that purport that we're a democracy. So we're in a mixed bag. We are certainly not a pure republic because people are still confused. And this made me so angry right to my core when I'd get asshats out there that kept saying, well, I didn't sign the Constitution. I'm not part of that contract. You were never intended to be because it wasn't intended for you because you already had the rights. This was the law that they spoke about, the law limiting government, so you can continue to be free and get your claptrap version of history screwed up, your ability to speak untruths or half-truths. Frank in North Carolina. Hello, Frank.
Hello. Now, one of the reasons I understand for a Republican form of government is because the denser population centers in the United States would mean that the people in those areas would basically control who our representatives were. And, democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner and all that. But, all the representatives, or I would call them non-representatives because they don't represent their constituencies, they do call it a democracy. Pretty much, with very few exceptions, they all refer to our form of government as a democracy. I would agree. We are in an oligarchy, basically of what I would call middle class to maybe high level, a servant class of people that serve the real power that's always behind the curtain that most people never. They go to their grave never even having known existed. But anyway, that's not why I called in. I called in
Okay, Frank, why did you call in?
Well, I called in because I'm kind of disappointed and frustrated at some of the people involved in this Unite the Right event that happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, which I understand. Believe it or not, I'm in North Carolina. I've only been to Virginia several times, once in the military, or a couple times in the military, because they have, reservations, government reservations, training grounds.
Practice it. So you're upset with people like John Kessler because he's leading the opposition. Is that right?
No.
Okay,
I'm
Frank.
I'm upset with people like David.
Go ahead.
I'm upset with people like David Duke. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I'm upset with people like David Duke. Enough time has lapsed since that event that we know that there are some highly suspicious characters involved, and people like David Duke are out there still supporting these individuals, and I don't get it.
Let me boil this down for you. What they're doing here is trying to make this. You know what the term homogenize means? Take two parts and make it homogeneous or make it one. They're going after the alt-left. They're going after the alt-right. So we can take some semblance of public opinion, make this some kind of homogenous stuff, this goo in the middle, and I'm not for that. You've heard the saying that, I'm there for the right of anybody to protest. It's not even... protest, because they've got to engineer these things. They got to bring in the fake people. They got to bring in the actors. They got to bring in, let's lead the opposition. Some of these people that I've heard speak, poor representatives of supposed white power. And this is in direct opposition to these people that say that white people have got to go because the white people have always been in power. And the argument goes on and on and on. And if people start screaming for the left to be cut out and not have the ability to demonstrate, well, no matter slightly right to the center here, I don't give a damn if it's neo-Nazis or some skinhead group or some constitutional group or this group or the other, they're going to try to eliminate them. Take a look at what's happening on the web. Pressure from above, pressure from below here, Frank. Let's make this a homogeneous Stands for Nothing Center.
In a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Alrighty. What a wonderful, sweetly screwed up world we live in.
Oh, definitely. In fact, because of just part of it, like the economy, how well is RBN doing financially?
I'll be able to answer that question after I open up today's mail during the bottom of the hour break. So hold on here. Mike in Colorado. Hello, Mike.
Hey, gentlemen. Great show. I'm glad you brought up the homogenization of the alleged right movement.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple reasons. One, back before the revolution, they had the same kind of thing going on until a person named Patrick Kidney stepped up and clarified everybody's vision, which I thought was, you know, one of the best speeches of our founders. But also because when you were talking about the oligarchy, they have confounded this alleged government slash fascism by not labeling people like Bill Gates and Mark Crazyberg and all these other people. They're part of the oligarchs now.
That's right.
Whereas before, it was more traditionally, they were all just either the politicians or the king and all those people. But now our corporate CEOs have become the oligarchs because they have just as much influence over society, probably more with media, than these crazy politicians do. So I've been convinced they codified the oligarchy in 1946 under that one particular statute that you quote so often and well on your show.
Yep. Are you talking about the Administrative Procedures Act?
Yeah.
Fill in the blanks. Oh, it's fill in the blank day. Okay.
Kind of allegedly legalized an oligarchy, and hardly anybody knows it. And I know we got an uphill battle, but you keep fighting, and I'll keep listening. And, you know, have a great show, buddy.
And I hope people keep contributing because our average. I'm sorry?
Is it getting pretty thin?
Well, like I said, I know what bills I owe, and I know the mail came in today and Saturday, and I'll have to take a look. I'll be honest with you, the secretary is off today. She had something, court thing or something she couldn't get out of. But at any rate, I'll let you know after the bottom of the hour break how broke we are.
I will go to my bank website and see how broke I am and see what I can contribute while you do that, sir.
Well, and I'm here to tell you, even Bill Deagle got it. He said there's only two networks left. He considers Rents to be a half a network, and, well, that's for that's for people's judgment out there. It's not a 24/7 live broadcast, so I don't think that a network makes. But, you know, given that, we are very clean and very mean over here. We have programming. We have a message that that is carried forth, and there's not a whole lot of confusion and contention here because I, as the oligarch of this network, will not have it.
And you've got a good iron fist, my friend, so I'll see what I can do for you. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your call. Uh-oh. Tom in Philadelphia. Hello, Tom.
That's right. It's me, the one and only.
Hey.
How's it going? How about you doing, Ron? How's it going over there?
Pretty good. It's doing pretty good over here.
Yeah. So you're not a dictator, John. You're the only tater, right?
I'm the only tater in town, dude.
Hey, you know, I read that thing over, I think I got it, I spotted it Friday or Saturday, and I read that spiel.
You mean the Antifa mantra for communization?
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you read through, and I have no doubt that it probably represents their mindset to a T, but when you get to that last line, you know, we're going to give you pot and meth and crack and crank and heroin and jujubes and all the IC you can drink, that kind of makes it almost sound like it was a joke.
You know, I thought the same thing when I first read it, but, you know, take a look at the population today. Take a look at the people.
Oh, I know.
Hey, but, Tom, my point here is take a look at their safe spots and this microaggression stuff. You know, just huddling together. I mean, sometimes you need a friend, and it's just not around to sit and melt with. So, you know, like the Rolling Stones said, my mother's medicine cabinet. You know, I would raid that. I don't.
Was it you run for the help of your mother's little helper, there, a little yellow pill?
There you go.
The shelter of the mother's little helper.
Yeah, and,
the,
and
yeah,
go ahead.
All I want to know is. When are they going to start giving away the free houses? Because if you're going to give away free houses to the homeless, you're going to have a lot of homeless.
Hey, hang on one second, Tom, while we take this break. Right. We'll take the bottom of the hour break, folks. We'll take some more phone calls. We got much information to come.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
By the way, folks, one of the things that's wanted here is violent clashes and riots. I say we keep from feeding their bigotry, their racism, their form of utopia, which doesn't make a damn bit of sense because it's not workable. Their form of demonocracy literally will kill itself. They've got to manufacture this contention. They've got to manufacture the dissent that's come to violence against two factions that have to be eliminated. Don't throw any logs under fire. Stand there and give them the peace sign, or stand there and laugh, or stand there in the just stand there and drink a beer and just have a party. Just watch them. Don't engage them. Don't talk to them. Don't placard them. Don't try to beat them. And we'll continue to pick apart their false parade and identify those which are leading it. Hell, the FBI even had to admit, Ron, that, hell, we had informants in there. And, well, we can't really, yes. If they were involved in the riots, we really can't prosecute them because they were part of our team. And the way this whole damn thing was rigged up, you know, folks, are you starting to think now that maybe this nightclub shooting down in Florida was a prop? Or that other things, you know, what they've discovered with all these defacings, all these neo-Nazis defacing all these wonderful Jewish temples, guess who they're done by? They're not done by a white supremacist fascist neo-Nazi with a, you know, a Heil Hitler tattooed on their forehead. They're the opposition. They're feeding the fire. They're the ones that are doing it. So, folks, let's stop feeding and just keep exposing. It takes two to tango. I'm going to sit this one out.
John?
Yeah.
You know, I often won't take anything at face value and want to prove it, but on this story, there was a reporter that substantiated that it was part all set up.
Yeah.
It was all set up.
And I want people to take note that Fox News itself is morphing into something else. You know, the bellicose Bill O'Reilly, like him or not, he had his opinion. He put it out there. Generally, it was conservative. So we had to do away with him. Well, next up on the block is going to be Sean Hannity. You know, Dylan Radigan, I just watched that damn thing again today. Dylan Radigan, a couple of years ago, came out and said, you know, I've had it with all this stuff. And he spelled it out. Well, that was the end of Dylan Radigan on I think it was it MSNBC? I'll have to dig up the clip again. But it was rather fascinating. They had to get rid of this guy because he came out, he was pissed off, and he just spelled it out the way it is. Wayne in Texas. Hello, Wayne. What's on your mind?
Hi, John. A lot of good info today.
What do you got?
Hello?
Yeah, what do you got?
Hey, okay, I wanted to add my two cents to this information and debate about democracy versus Republican. And what I really believe it boils down to, what rights are we going to have when all the dust settles? When they set up the Republic, we had natural rights that were inalienable and came from our Creator, secured by the Constitution and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But this continued discussion about democracy, which is also a mobocracy,
mm-hmm.
essentially our rights become civil rights, all determined by the government, and they essentially stand in quicksand, from everything I gather. And my point is they can be changed at any time by any limp-wristed politician through a policy, a directive, an order, or whatever. And then when you look at it, they're overseen by the likes of Pelosi and Schumer and the rest of them. And so what it boils down to me is this. It's, you know, when these idiots tell us we're a democracy, what they're really saying is you people are too stupid to have any type of self-determination, so we have to tell you what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell by the population we have now that that's essentially the case. Through the welfare, the free this, the free that,
mm-hmm.
there is no incentive for value anymore. And so this is what we have, and this is where it's heading. My personal opinion, this pure democracy is now South Africa, where white people are running for their lives to stay, you know, to have any type of semblance of civilization.
Yeah, but a lot of people would call that social justice. Yeah. Only the people that have taken over and they don't know how to run things. Oops. There's a problem there, isn't there?
Absolutely. So I think it's a warning sign. I really believe it is that, you know, this is what can happen when you turn the other way and you don't fight for whatever rights you have that should be inalienable and you let these idiot politicians dictate, you know, what's going to happen in your life, you know, time after time. So
this is
why I throw that in.
Well, I appreciate that. And this is why I've asked people before. You know, I mean, do you people bother calling into C-SPAN anymore? Because a targeted call on C-SPAN with level-headed, don't get too far off topic, there's enough information on any politic-ing person they bring up there, any writer or anybody that's in error, it is very it's very easy. It's a very easy thing to do. And they put out independent. They put out a phone line for an independent, a Republican, a Democrat, doesn't matter. Keep it pithy, as the old blowhard on Fox News used to say. Keep it pithy. There's enough information to stay on target and to keep that rolling. Because what that does, it gives a signal that, oh, somebody's out there paying attention. They're making cogent sense. The logic is there. Maybe I'll call in as well. This we have used it, and it's not free. C-SPAN is not free. You know, somebody has to pay for that. But it's just another free avenue of which you can pick up the phone, and I know you'll be on hold for an hour. Live with it. But your voice counts. This is why I've kept telling people, keep walking and talking. You have abated yourself. You've slipped into, I don't want to be picked on, or I don't want to be called a bigot or a racist, or I'm afraid for my job. Folks, here's the plain and simple truth about this. This keeps going. You're not going to have a damn job anyhow. So then you can stand on a street corner and get a bottle thrown at you if you'd like, and decrying the loss of your republic and your loss of freedom. It is all or nothing right now, and the only thing that we have to do is not violently but persistently resist, using our mouth, and keep walking and talking. You don't have to look like an asset. You don't have to raise your voice. You don't have to get red-faced. You don't have to have the jugular veins in your neck popping out. Slow and steady, stay the course.
Yeah, that sure makes a lot of sense, John. And basically, you know, when even you look at the events of Saturday, you know, you can tell how the media is slanting all this reporting. And I don't know if you heard about it down in the Austin area, but, you know, there was some reports of these Black Lives Matter people in Dallas. They had a couple chants like 1, 2, 3, F the police, cops and Klan go hand in hand, oink, oink, bang, bang. And look what happened over the weekend in various parts of the country with cops getting shot. So we should really keep directing the spotlight on who the real terrorists are.
You know, and lo and behold, I didn't hear any news reports except on One America News. That evidently is run by some Christians, if that's even possible anymore. They came out and said, well, wait a minute. There were 9 dead in Chicago over the weekend and so many wounded. You know, here is the land of Rahm Emanuel, and he was that special kind of talented person that was on Barack Obama's team. He was chief of staff. So here this wonderful man leaves the Obama administration, that highly successful presidential thing, and then goes to Chicago and does his thing there. They got some of the toughest gun laws in the country. It's broke. They have voted themselves out of the public largesse. They have people by the millions running the hell out of Illinois. And there is but nobody will touch this. Nobody will talk about Chicago. Nobody will talk about the backstory of the politics. Nobody will talk about the supposed leaders being mayors of the big cities in America that are melting down right now. Nobody wants to touch this social rot. Nobody. So when this Antifa thing came out, their little their little discourse and fall in line, you little guys, this is how we're going to do it, it leaves some gaping holes and some facts that should be included there, but it's not. And they're trying to convince people, but they're now the truth. No, the truth stands of its own. The truth will stand anything. They got nothing.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right, John. And you know, but they're playing to a populace that has the attention span of a gnat, you know, for that matter.
But by comparison, Wayne, I hope you're catching my message here. They are very small. They have got to recruit. They have got to go out and pay people. They have to go out and manufacture this. This is an illusion given to us by the Zionist-controlled media in this country. And these people are synonymous. They are one in the same. They are one in the same. I'm wondering,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm wondering why the FBI, rather than putting plants down there in Virginia, why are they not investigating and arresting George Soros? Why are they not going after people that are agitating, destabilizing, causing death, causing property damage? Why is the FBI not doing that?
look who they've had leading it all these past few years.
And I'm telling you, just when you want control, you want to control the message, you lead the opposition. Ta-da.
Perfect. Yep.
All right, Wayne. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Say, John.
Yes, Ron.
Before you continue, what's the finances like?
You didn't
get to your mail?
I didn't have a chance to open it. But I can tell you this. We're still in the hole. We're still in the hole. Either you're going to do your best to support this network, to have one remaining consistent voice out there, or you're not. It's going to be your choice. Whoops, the old Evergreen tractor trailer truck pulled up next door to Trucking Compound. And I think I see the sides of it rolling up, and there's Paz Gadot helmeted individuals. And wait a minute, I got sniper rifles pointed at my head. Excuse me. I got to go to the window and say cheese. Hi there. No, I'm just teasing. But it's true, an Evergreen truck. Dude, most people don't. Isn't it funny this came out, this Antifa on Evergreen campus? And Evergreen was the name of the airline and the trucking service that the CIA used? I'm just, it must be a coincidence. By the way, Ron, didn't you find it fascinating that they repealed the Glass-Steagall and, 6 years later we had a little meltdown in the banking industry?
Oh, yes.
Paul Craig Roberts recently wrote about this. He said, for 66 years, the Glass-Steagall Act reduced the risk in the banking system. Well, I'm in error. 8 years after the act was repealed, the banking system blew up, threatening the international economy. U.S. taxpayers were forced to come up with $750 billion, a sum much larger than the Pentagon's budget, by the way, in order to bail out the banks. Gee, you just put the end of the thing in the... they said it was number one. This huge sum was insufficient to do the job. So the Fed Reserve had to step in and expand its balance sheet by $4 trillion in order to protect the solvency of the banks declared too big to fail. So let me understand this. The people that started the problem in the first place, that blew up the economy, needed to be bailed out because they were too big to fail. So we had to give them $4 trillion? Wow. How does that work? Is there been any cases recently up there in Northern California where the robber robs the bank and the police give him an escort home?
Not to my knowledge.
Well, that's what we did here. The enormous increase in the supply of dollars known as quantitative easing inflated financial asset prices instead of the consumer price index. The rise in bond and stock prices is a major cause of the worsening income and wealth distribution inside the United States. I wish you'd use better terms than that. But the economic polarization has undercut the image and reality of the U.S. as a land of opportunity, has induced political and economic instability into the life of the country. Now, these were huge costs and for the benefit only of the rich, who were already rich to begin with. They wanted to be bailed out so they can continue their scam. So what can we say about the repeal of the Glass-Steagall is it turned a somewhat egalitarian democracy, there's that word, with a large middle class into the 1% versus the 99%. The repeal resulted in the destruction of the image of the United States as an open, prosperous society. The electorate is very much aware of the decline in their economic situation, and this awareness expressed itself in the last presidential election. Americans know the nonsense from the U.S. Department of Labor statistics about 4.3% unemployment rate and an abundance of new jobs is fake news. The BLS gets its low rate of unemployment by not counting the millions of discouraged workers who cannot find a job. If you haven't looked for a job in the last 4 weeks, you're not considered unemployed. And their birth/death rate model, a purely theoretical construct, accounts for a large percentage of the non-existent new jobs. The jobs are there by assumption, not in reality. The jobs are not really there. Moreover, the replacement of full-time jobs with part-time jobs then proceeded. And they count those, they're employed. Yeah. Pension and health care benefits that were once substantial part of the pay package, they're all being terminated and robbed and pillaged, folks. It makes perfect sense to separate commercial from investment banking. The taxpayer-insured deposits of the commercial banking should not serve as a backing for investment banking's creation of risky financial instruments, such as subprime mortgages or derivatives or any damn thing else. The U.S. government understood that in 1933, but it no longer did in 1999. This deterioration in government competence has cost America dearly. By merging those commercial banks with the investment banks, the repeal of Glass-Steagall greatly increased the capability of the banking system to create these risky financial instruments, which taxpayer backing was available. So we have the extraordinary situation that repeal of the Glass-Steagall forced the 99% to bail out the 1%. Whoops. And what this has done, folks, and I ain't got to tell you because you're living it every damn day, this has turned this into an unstable economic, political, and social system. We have a situation in which millions of Americans who have lost full-time employment with benefits to jobs offshoring, whose lower-income employment and part-time and contract employment leaves no discretionary income after payment of interest and fees to their financial system. Your insurance on your home, your car, your health insurance, credit card interest, car payment interest, student loan interest, home mortgage interest, bank charges for insufficient minimum balances, and on it goes, are on the hook for bailing out financial institutions that make foolish and risky investments. So this guy that used to be in government asked the wonderful question, Ron, so where is there any democracy when the 1% can cover their losses at the expense of the 99%, which is what the repeal of Glass-Steagall guarantees? And please, can somebody within arm's distance of Paul Craig Roberts take him by the ear, set him down, and have a little talk with him? Democracy? And he used to be in the government?
Yes.
Something's wrong here. People are confused.
You know, I would generalize and say it's just a big plot to make people think that the Federal Reserve notes really have value.
Well, they do somewhat. You know, the illusion.
To the creditor. Well, to the creditor.
Yeah, but people don't think in that mindset. When they get their itty bitty after the taxation, and they take their itty bitty to the grocery store, what do they hand them? A debit card. No, hold on. Cash. Cash is king. Cash is money. That's what they've been told. The green stuff. The moolah. This is what their security is. This is what they should have. So they got it. But what they got, they don't realize it's a production of the middleman people that wanted to take the real value. Trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, folks, have been emptied out of this country by the fiat money masters. And in this land of plenty, when people had freedom and liberty to associate, to walk and talk, to do any damn thing they wanted as long as they didn't hurt their fellow man, created so much wealth that created a stable, not only economic, but society in this country. You don't screw with that, and there's plenty to go around. So we had to artificially create a class struggle in this country. The white-haired, farted politicians in Washington, D.C. did that. Well, you know, we understand there's people out there that need help. Yeah, and there was help available for it by friends and neighbors before because it wasn't so prevalent. It wasn't all-encompassing. And when the families or the friends of those in dire straits, they would go to their church because at one time, folks, people actually went to church. Remember that? And they put a few dollars on the collection plate to keep the church going because the church just didn't preach the word of God. They were social activists themselves. They were helping the poor in their neighborhoods. But now we got a better idea of the welfare state. We're going to canonize it. We're going to make it a government function with no incentive for people to ever get off of the government dole. And the very people that are railing against it right now are the biggest beneficiaries. Geez, what's wrong with this picture? The government's got to keep coming in and attacking your itty-bitty by way of taxation. And do you actually think that this tax plan that's going to be coming up, folks, Ron, what's wrong with that ugly little elephant in the middle of the room?
I don't know yet. I know it's supposed to reduce the corporate tax to 15%. Was supposed to be an incentive to build more jobs and more plants. I don't see that.
Well, and here's the bottom line to that. It's all phony baloney, because when you got a government that is this far in debt, and by extension us folks, yes, they put the debt on our shoulders. When you have this massive kind of a debt, you need all the tax money that you can pull in. Now, under normal circumstances, what you would do is drastic cuts in government spending. Try to round up all the taxes that you can to help pay down that debt. But that's impossible to do. So if you really think a new tax plan is for the individual here, it's just to keep the masses quieted down that, oh, at least they're recognizing that we have a problem and we're going to do this tax plan to leave more money in your pocket. Bull puppy. Bull. It's all a scam.
Yeah, I don't think the Federal Reserve is going to lie silent on the national debt.
No, and we'll just shift this over to a cashless society, because it's going to be a lot easier. Don't worry, folks. And you know what? The tax cheaters out there won't be able to cheat, because we're going to know exactly how much money you're making and when we extract the 85 or 90% out of your paycheck. But don't worry. You will be provided for. All is calm. All is good. Workers unite. Yippee, we won. Man, this would make a hell of a movie, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Ron, I want to thank you for being on. I hope you got everything done last Monday.
I did.
Good deal.
Had fun.
Well, and I appreciate you coming on. 8 years?
Yeah, 8 years.
Did you have anything but gray hair in your head when you came on this show 8 years ago?
I've had gray hair since I was a young man.
At least I can't be blamed for that.
Yeah. Right. Well, part of it you can.
Part of it I can.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Yeah, blame the captain. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. All right. Hey, Ron, thanks, my friend.
Hey, thank you.
All right. And folks, the bills are piling up. I'm trying to keep ahead of them. Just do what your heart tells you to do. That's the only thing I can tell you. When there's only two networks left and the other one has pissed away more money than I've ever had and is not centered on what needs to be talked about and done, well, there you have it. Support, Mike, wouldn't that be an irony that the godfather of alternative media is the one last standing? Wow. I would call that some kind of justice. And it'll be just us, along with you, and as many people as you can drag into the tent, folks. This is an educational thing that we're on here. Bring in the downtrodden and the flat-out stupid. Let's see if we can't rattle something in their brains and put them into some kind of cohesive human being again. Just center them with a few simple facts. It's really not all that complicated. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. Hit the donate button. Hit it. Hit it hard. Try to break the damn bank. Or give us a call, 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or here's our address. Many people have complained that we don't put out the address enough. Well, I'm going to do this, and I want you to write it down. Stick it on your refrigerator with a magnet. If you got a friend with a tattoo parlor, go get it tattooed on your forearm. RBN 2251 Double Creek. That's two words. Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Once again, RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Make a donation. We'll be here tomorrow, next week, next month, and next year, folks. It is we the people, and we're pushing back.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.